Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined today by a killer bee, the one Brian E. Roach. Brian B., what's going on?
Buzz.
I just thought we should do something different. There was one of our listeners dropped into the YouTube comments, and he brought up the forbidden word that is something that bread turns into within a particular heating apparatus.
Yeah, I did see that. I saw that, and I still don't like it, and it's still disgusting.
Yes, but I can't mention it. I can't mention it. So I need something new, and I don't know. I wish I had a B in my name so we could both be the killer bees. But in fact, we have too many Zachs. We have a bunch of mics. I don't even know if we still have all the mics, but there's a we have a couple of extra here and there. But I think you're the only B, right?
Yeah, I think I am.
Well, no, there's Ben.
Oh yeah, there's Ben.
That's true. And he has like a bunch of bees in his name. Bieberman. He's like,
yeah, Ben, you gotta change your name because I'm the only one allowed to be.
I don't even know where Ben's been. He's been hanging and banging.
I'm calling him Glenn from now on. He's Glenn.
Glenn. Hey, you know what? That was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw. Was it the second Lego movie? First Lego movie? So they have the old school little spaceship guys, right? And their names. It's Benny, Kenny, Lenny, and Jenny. And that's not the funny part about it. Of course, the alliteration, the rhyming, and everything like that, of course, made to be cute, cartoon kids movie. I grew up, went to school with, high school, someone, their family, three of those four names, Ben, Ken, and Jen. All siblings. So someone else apparently was ahead of the curve on that. And my daughter, who was only 6 years old, going on seven here very shortly, was quite amazed by that story, as I'm sure everyone else was who's listening. So we got the real burning questions, though, to get to. Right, Brian?
Yes.
Are the Steelers better heading into 2020? Wait, let's rewind real quick. I don't know. There may or may not be a preseason. There may or may not be football. Let's just assume there is. Going forward, are the Steelers a better team? Well, I guess I don't know. You want to say on paper because we haven't seen them yet. But can we say at this point they're a better team heading into this 2020 season than they were in the 2019 season?
Yes, they are. Thank you very much for listening. So it was a great show.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name is Joe. Yep. Well, we got to go a little more in depth than that. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, 30 Absolutely. Seconds of actual football content, a minute and a half on the Lego movie. So anyways, let's get right to it, man. Quarterback position. This one's going to be the short one, because if you want to know anything about this, just listen to like 9 of our last 10 podcasts. Are the Steelers better at the quarterback position in 2020 than they were in 2019? I vote a strong vote of approval, just basically based on Ben returning. I mean, at the beginning of the 2019 season, you had Ben for a game and a half. We didn't know what we had with the other guys. You still had Josh Dobbs. You had Mason Rudolph. We thought that was still pretty strong. I still think it's better this year because the guys that are there got experience and Ben's back. Healthy Ben.
It is. I just can't keep having the same argument with people, so I'm not going to. They're better at quarterback this year than they were last year. Remember, we don't know how long Ben's injury actually was in place. So if you want to whine and cry that he wasn't that good in the first game against the Patriots, I'm going to tell you, Don't feed me that line. That elbow probably has been hurting for a while. He's going to be better. They're better at quarterback. End of story.
Okay, let's take a look at the wide receivers. So remember, Deontay Johnson was an unknown. He was a rookie. He didn't play right out the gate. The guys they had starting here in like the first couple weeks of the season, Dante Moncrief, one of your favorite players of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, Ryan Switzer. Now, the Steelers have Deontay Johnson, who has kind of come into his own. We saw James Washington start to pop off the page at the end, near the end, tail end of the 2019 season, at least the second half of it. And they went and drafted Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame with their first pick, which was actually in the second round. Wide receivers, better or worse this year than last year? I say better.
See, answer one. Quarterback is better, therefore the wide receivers are better.
Oh,
it's a part of the equation. Look, I think Juju will be healthy. I think Juju is coming into a point where he knows he's trying to now earn money. So he's likely to have a better year. I think James Washington has grown. I think that's a good thing. I certainly expect Deontay Johnson to take what they call that second-year leap that Mike Tomlin talks about quite often and believes that it's important for players to do. I think we can expect to see a lot of chemistry develop between him and Ben and see that get exploited. And to be honest, Chase Claypool is – I don't mean to sound like cavalier about this. Chase Claypool is just icing on the cake. If he gets in and contributes, great. If not, he learns. And I'm good with any of that. But, yes, this is a better receiver room because of their experience and because they have a much better quarterback.
And, not only there is a quarterback coach and a wide receivers coach that are full-time, not interim and or missing and or, you know, a guy wearing multiple hats and trying to do multiple things. As, you know, Ray Sherman was not intended to be the wide receivers coach last year. He was just popping into camp to say hello and help out and, you know, stay involved in football, I imagine. You know, he's probably friends with people on the coaching staff, maybe even some of the players or players' relatives. You know, there's a lot of that, too, where somebody has a kid and now they're playing in the NFL. So there is definitely extended family in a community, but you couldn't expect him. I think he filled in, you know, knowing that the Steelers were in need. Now you have Ike Hilliard, right, as wide receivers coach, and then Matt Canada as a quarterbacks coach, which is thought to be a tremendous hire for the organization. So that
I think
that should be a boon to both position groups. We kind of fired right in there on that, but you know what? Yeah, I had higher expectations for Dante Moncrief. I think Chase Claypool is someone who could be a grown ass man that we hadn't even. It was like the Juju pick. It was one that flew under the radar that I dismissed it. He's not going to be there. He's not a guy that they're going to be looking at. Boom, he's there. Could be just as impactful as Juju. You know, I'm not looking beyond 2020 right now to say, well, Juju's in a contract year, this, that, or the other thing. Some of Juju's problems, I think it was multifaceted. You know, Antonio Brown certainly helped Juju. But Ben Roethlisberger also helped Juju as well. And, you know, we talked about some of the guys I said popped off the page, like James Washington or Deontay Johnson. They did that with either Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges. It'd be nice to see what they can do with Ben Roethlisberger with a nice, healthy, strong Ben Roethlisberger. So that's why I believe the wide receivers are going to be better. I know we get into this battle with some folks as well with the running backs. Now, this is an interesting one. You get the same guy. He should be the guy. Can he be the guy all the time? That would be James Conner. Got Benny Snell entering year two. This is where the running backs, we expect him to make a leap. I'm going to credit that to the professor for saying that very often, and he's very right for pointing that out. He opened my eyes to it, definitely. And, you know, it also helps with a lot of the rookies. They're not going through the whole – you go straight from – you play your season, your college season – you got a little bit of a layover, then you got a bowl game, and then you're immediately into training, combine, draft, camp, training camp, workouts and camps. You don't get a break. So guys get a little bit of a breather and a little bit of a break, and I think that really helps them in year two and it helps them grow. So also Benny Snell dealt with some injuries as well. You have Jalen Samuels still there. They drafted Anthony McFarland. This is kind of a push for me just based on can the number one and number two guys on paper right now, can they stay healthy? That's the only thing that bothers me. Otherwise, I would say they're at least as strong as they were heading in, maybe even stronger with the addition of McFarland.
Look, I guess my response to this is I don't know. And I'll tell you why. It's not that I don't know. It's, you know, it's a push in many ways. I don't think the room is any worse than it was. I don't think the position is any worse than it was. It absolutely could be better. If James Conner returns to Pro Bowl form, avoids injury, and allows them to, you know, make full use of that, it could be better. Anthony McFarland, if he picks up on things and can be a change of pace back, unlike what they haven't had recently, could be better. But it could also go the other way. Conner could get hurt. You know, Benny Snell could not make the leap. And, you know, then depending on a rookie to carry the load, because Jalen Samuels is not going to be the bell cow, I don't know. So I kind of feel like my response is I'm hopeful that the room is just no worse off than it was.
I think it was mainly worse off when we looked at the way a lot of the rosters, the depth charts and things were broken down. You, myself, the professor over a few of the podcasts, and we saw like, you know, there was games where you had Conner and he left and then you didn't even have Snell. And Jalen Samuels is kind of like Mwelde Moore. He's a guy that's he's meant to be in there to give a little bit of a change of pace, but he's not a guy that's, you know, I know he had the one big game. What was that, against the Patriots the year before or whatever? And you know, that's all great. He's capable in certain situations, but we also saw the offensive line, which we're going to get to. Maybe we'll just do that one next. You know, the offensive line was all over the place too when it came to which starters, which guys, and it's tough too. With the running backs, you have inexperienced quarterbacks. We've mentioned this before, where opposing defenses are daring you to throw. And they knew that Duck Hodges was not going to throw in certain areas of the field. It, you know, he was smart, at least. He's not like one of these guys that goes out there trying to throw four or five picks, forcing certain things. He knew his strengths. The Steelers coaching staff knew his weaknesses as well and tried to hide them as best they could. That's pretty much why the team fell apart toward the end of the season. I mean, they still almost beat Buffalo. I mean, that was one heck of a game. And I think at a certain point, too, when you're running on fumes, the tank is empty. That game, not winning that game, I think just kind of the wind came out of the sails and the whole thing just kind of stopped right there for the rest of that was the end of the season effectively. So the running backs, again, you put somebody like Ben in there. I even say Mason, provided, you know, we're going to talk about the offensive line here, provided like a lot of these other things fall into place as we should expect them to, as far as health and injuries. And you know, we're not even like taking into effect the whole pandemic thing and some guys saying they're not going to play and things like that, which could really screw some things up, not only for the Steelers, but for a lot of teams too. So, and then of course you got, should we even talk about, we didn't even bring up Patrick Mahomes and basically signing a, what, the 10 year, like $500 million contract. And you know what was funny about that was there was someone in the comments, Brian, I'll have to bring it up. This was a good comment. They compared having a backup quarterback, capable backup quarterback that could step in when Tom Brady stepped in. And I'm like, you know, the Patriots, I don't think we're expecting to take a guy in the sixth round and have him come in and start for Drew Bledsoe, who at the time signed a Patrick Mahomes size contract. 10 years, $103 million back in the offseason of it was March 2001, because I actually had to look it up, but I remembered that. And the guy nearly had his life taken on the field, like two games into the season. They were playing the Jets, and the guy, he got, I forget what the injury was. It was something that could have broke or bled or whatever be the case. And, you know, he was meant to be, continue to be their franchise quarterback. He was selected first overall by that franchise when they were absolutely terrible in the early 90s, I think like 93 or something like that. So the Patriots were not expecting Tom Brady to come in and be Tom Brady by any means. He was a guy that was there that they were maybe developing and maybe, hey, we could have him in there in a pinch. So you just never know how these things are going to work out. Now, with all of that said, there was a lot of other there was a lot of other support there with Bill Belichick and the way they were building those rosters and a really good defense. Tom Brady had some really good defenses when he started out back then. But, you know, he was also protected a lot. His offensive line and stuff, he's never really taken a lot of sacks. So this was some of the criticism last year. And we had some inexperienced or younger quarterbacks that held onto the ball too long, where defenses were like, we're going to dare you to throw. They're going to load the box, stop the run, blitz, everything else. You had guys that were injured like Ramon Foster. You had guys suspended like Marquise Pouncey. They moved Matt Filer over from tackle to guard for a game. Now we're hearing that Matt Filer may get the first crack at being the left guard and not Stefan Wisniewski. And that means it's going to be, what, Chukwuma Okorafor and Zach Banner potentially in a right tackle battle. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, especially with Wisniewski, because he's definitely a traveled veteran that you, when signed, you're just expecting him to go right in there and be the left guard in place of Ramon Foster. So the question here is now, some of the erratic offensive line play. See, the Steelers, like, you didn't lose any of these guys the previous few years where Ben isn't getting sacked, Bell or Connor are having great rushing seasons, Pro Bowl seasons. You pretty much had the same guys intact as a unit, all five of them, every game, all 16 games. Not the case last year. Now it's a little bit different, just a little bit different of the unit. But is it better this year, heading into this year, than last year? Oh, man, that's a real tough one because, you know, I would have assumed going into last year the weak link would have been Filer. Now Filer's not in that same position. But we know Filer is a very capable left guard. You got another undrafted guy out there, you know what I mean? Just like Alejandro Villanueva and Alejandro Villanueva going into the contract year too. You still got Pouncey and DeCastro. They're perennial all-pros. They're the best of the best at their position or among the tops. So the other three guys, it's really interesting to see. I got to say, losing Ramon Foster and not knowing, like, if you're just replacing Foster with Wisniewski and keeping everything else the same, I would say, okay, they're at least the same, maybe marginally better. But going the other way around, remember, Ramon's also the guy that was the let's tap the thigh, silent count. May not need that if there's not fans in the in the stands, but he was that guy. So if you move Filer over and now you're dealing with Chooks, who has like one game played and didn't look bad, but one game played, period, and Banner. I don't know. That could be the one area where I'm going to say they might be worse heading into this season than they were last season.
I'm going to go with what I probably even should have said with the running back position, which is review answer one. And the reason I say that again is, you know, people complained, people lost their minds about Pouncey and low snaps last year. And I will tell you that Pouncey's always had low snap issues. Ben just covered it up. The rest of them didn't do as good a job. Ben being back there will make a difference to this offensive line for multiple reasons that you even just mentioned. First of all, not going to be able to stack the box and dare Ben to throw because Ben will do it and Ben will beat you. So they're not going to be able to do that. In addition to that, Ben's not going to hold – I mean, he will hold the ball sometimes, but he's
like
gotten better. Yeah, but he's gotten better over the end of his career of getting that ball out quicker. He knows the playbook better. He reads the defense better than either Mason or Duck was going to be able to do last year. Ben will make the offensive line look better by doing those things. Now, technically speaking, yeah, I think it's fair to say, look, Pouncey's a year older. You've got, potentially two positions where you've got new guys sort of at those positions. And then you got a Villanueva, Alejandro Villanueva, who had a drop-off year last year, was not as good as he's been. The question will be whether he's going to be, on the upswing again or whether he's going to continue to slide. So technically speaking, yeah, they might actually not be as good. But I will tell you that I think by the end of the season, they're going to look better.
That's completely fair. And, of course, losing Mike Munchak was a big thing where everyone was afraid of that last season. And Denver didn't necessarily, you know, not light the world on fire. They're still trying to fix offensive line problems there, which hasn't helped their quarterback play at all either. So that was part of bringing Munchak in there. And they didn't do much of a great job either. And a lot of people are still going to hold and cling to that Munchak left because this is a dumpster fire. The ship sinking and going down. No, his contract was up and this was a respectful parting of ways so he can go live closer. It's still make money doing what he does, what he loves to do, coach, but go do it closer to family, you know, grandkids and all that stuff. You don't live forever, so can't blame him for that. Last position group on the offense, I'm going to say, is better. That is the tight end. That's the tight ends. You know, Vance McDonald's back. Last year, Zach Gentry was a rookie. They had Xavier Grimble. Some guys they brought to camp that may still be there. Christian Scotland Williamson, who now should no longer be part of the foreign player, international player, passport, whatever it is. But they've been trying to work with him and get him there to probably at least be a blocker of all things. Oh, you know what else we forgot? We forgot one other position too. Let's lump them in with this because they usually do the fullbacks too. So you had Roosevelt Nix as part of that. And then I'm missing Kevin Rader was another guy from that was in camp. So basically what gets switched here is you got rid of Xavier Grimble for Eric Ebron. And I'm going to say that's a massive improvement. And
I'm going with you.
And fullback, Derek Watt for Rosie Nix. Now, I liked Rosie Nix, but whatever injury or whatever he had happen is just had to be catastrophic to his career, whether that's ability, availability, recovery. It's not like fullbacks are like kickers. You know, you have like one, and then that's it. Right. And not having one is yet another cog in this machine that was missing and why it wasn't that well-oiled, running, blocking, whatever machine that they had last year. So Derek Watt comes in, and now Derek Watt will replace Roosevelt Nix. So across the board, this is a better group.
Yeah, I don't think that we can question that. I'll say Derek Watt versus Rosie Nix is a push because Rosie Nix was a Pro Bowl-level fullback when he was healthy. I don't know whether, you know, how good Derek Watt's going to be, and I didn't watch a lot of Chargers games to find out. So, but I think, you know, the contract that he got and the fact that he's got the last name Watt probably bodes well.
Well, here's what so, it's not his contract. It's Melvin Gordon's contract.
Right.
That, you know, that helps. So, you know, he was the guy that was there helping pave the path for him. Got to give him some credit there.
Yep. So I think, you know, look, I think that minimally that can maybe end up a push. And we hope that it does. I just am not ready to say he's going to be better than Rosie was. Yeah. Better than Rosie was last year. Yeah, well, Rosie wasn't there last year, so now you're talking about,
fair.
Okay, he wasn't there. You know,
but as a fullback, because Rosie Nix is a special teamer, he really made his money there. He was a great special teams player.
Yeah, absolutely. So the tight ends, it's just that there's no question in my mind the tight end group is better. Eric Ebron, whether you like him, dislike him, is a better player than anybody else they had not named Vance McDonald. That was playing tight end last year. So that is an improvement, and you can't argue otherwise. If he can do the production in the red zone that he had done in Indianapolis, we're all going to be wanting the Eric Ebron jersey. So it's going to be a lovely thing, I think. I don't think that, in my mind, there's any way to look at it any other way. That's a better group. And when you sum all this up, this is a better offense than it was last year. And yeah, it starts and ends in many ways with Ben Roethlisberger, but it is more than that.
Oh, it's way more than that. Chase Claypool, Eric Ebron, Derek Watt. As long as the offensive line is cohesive, we're good to go. I think so.
Yeah.
So we flip to the defense. And you got your favorite guy, your grown-ass man, Cam Hayward, on that defensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Stephon Tuitt, hopefully healthy, back, was ready to start busting heads and making a name for himself and then got hurt, unfortunately. You lose Javon Hargrave. You make a trade for Chris Wormley, supposedly maybe penciled in there as a replacement. You're looking at it just one for one because some of the other guys are still here, like Dan McCullers, Tyson Alualu. I know that they drafted in the seventh round Carlos Davis. You still have Isaiah Bugs, Henry Mondow, Kayvon Walker, who came over from the XFL. There's a few XFLers here. So This group, this is so tough because they didn't have to. Didn't have to it for a lot of last year too. It's a lot like not having Ben. So how can you say that they've gotten worse when really Hargrave, losing him's big, but you had him playing to its spot, not necessarily his spot.
Right.
For me, this is kind of a push too because you're going to have to just see how it ends up working out and who's going to end up maybe playing that that nose tackle role or you know moving around. They haven't really come out and said Chris Wormley is a nose tackle. I think it was maybe labeled that on the roster, but I remember Kevin Colbert almost specifically. Somebody was asked, Colbert, Tomlin, and they didn't necessarily say that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we know Alualu is going to bounce around and do whatever, and we don't know if Bugs is a guy that can kind of step up and be kind of in that same category as Javon was. And, of course, there's Dan McCullers, who still kind of steadily kind of comes along and surprises here or there with limited snaps. And, you know, he's a very massive guy that maybe he's not playing a whole lot on regular defense, but he still fills a role on special teams. So that defensive line is at least the same. I don't think they've gotten any worse.
The bottom line for me is going to be Stephon Tuitt. If Tuitt can stay healthy, this will be a better defensive line unit than it was, despite losing Javon Hargrave. Look, there is nobody else on the line that would fill his position that has what Javon Hargrave had, which is that burst and that jump and that penetration that he provided. Maybe one of them can develop that. But they certainly didn't show it prior. I think the difference, though, is that you know Stephon Tuitt has been for several years now, and he's still a young guy. So it's not like he's even though he hasn't played you know or he's played several years with the Steelers, he's still not a guy that's you know getting long in the tooth, so to speak. I think Stephon Tuitt, if he can just avoid those crazy injury bugs. Can have one of those Pro Bowl type breakout seasons, maybe even to an All-Pro level, and you can tandem that up with Cam Hayward on the other side. Man, yeah, you got a potential grown-ass man defensive line that's going to be maybe even better. But they certainly, I don't think, are any worse.
I think we'll be talking about them in the same breath of how we used to talk about Big Snack, Chemo, the Diesel. Aaron Smith, those type of guys, certainly. So I think they've got that kind of locked down and in place. By the way, Stephon Tuitt just turned a young 27 years of age on May 23rd.
Yep.
So still very much a young man who will be entering his seventh NFL season in 2020.
Crazy.
I know. It's wild to me. And then the thing is, defensive linemen, if they want, some of these guys play how many years? 13, 14 years, 15 years, if they want. It's one of those positions where, you know, you can hang around for a while. Offensive linemen, too. Of course, if you take you're not taking as much of the punishment, I think, as, say, a running back. Or speed doesn't necessarily determine it, like if you're playing as a DB or a wide receiver. You know, you get some longevity there. So this guy could be around for like at least another 7 years. You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, that would only make him like 34. Where did we say Cam was at? Is Cam 32?
32.
I don't want to make him too old here. Let me see. Yeah, he just turned 31. So
yeah.
Close. I was close. So just putting that into perspective. And he's such a baby face. I just looked it up in one of these pictures on Google. Wow. That had to be from his rookie season. Anyway.
Well, I think he lost the beard at one point during
yes, that's what it is.
Isolation part. And yeah, he still looks like he's in his 20s, a child.
Well, everyone.
For a grown ass man.
Yeah, everyone makes me feel old. And I won't even mention you. So
yeah, shut up.
You make me feel young. You make me feel young. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see next time around when I'm leaving you in the dust. You'll be like,
you will.
What the hell is going on here?
You'll be leaving me in the dust, man. That trampoline accident and busting up my ankle was not fun earlier in the year. It has really put me on the sidelines. And now I feel all the pain. So when somebody's like, "Well, Juju should just suck it up and go out there." We were talking about like the gladiator, you know, kind of thing with the football players, the mentality. And it's like you try to, but there's only so much you could do on the bad wheel, man. It's like I totally feel everyone. And I feel how long it took to recover, not only from that particular injury, but also now 38 years young. So it took a little bit longer, and I'm like, man, this ain't no fun, man. How about the linebackers? TJ Watt. I mean, compared to last year, going in, TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, Vince Williams, Devin Bush. Yeah. Mm. I got to give a thumbs up here because both of those guys got better. Watt and Dupree. Yeah. Vince Williams is Vince Williams. Another year, or a year in the books for Devin Bush, where we had forgotten. We forgot about this guy. I mean, seriously, the stuff he was doing, he was creating turnovers. It was all kind of madness. And then Mika comes along and took the spotlight. I mean, he took the spotlight. He's like, here, give me that. And you kind of forgot about him. But he had a really great rookie season. So I'm going to say the linebackers are better.
I think there's no doubt about it. Look, Bud Dupree is going to, unless they work something out, which at this point I don't see happening. He's going to be on a contract year again, and he's going to perform. There's no reason to think TJ Watt isn't going to have another stellar year. Second year, again, we talked about this already. Second year players, they expect them to excel. Devin Bush should actually get better. And you know, whether it's Vince Williams or whether, you know, somebody like Ulysses Gilbert or one of the other guys in the room finds a way to supplant him and take that position. As Vince Williams has said, people have been trying to take my job since I got here and I still got a job. So, you know, look, I think the linebackers have room for growth and can get better, as amazing as that sounds, with as good as they were last year.
Oh, man, that's scary. That's a scary thought. Yeah. And it's because of the secondary. We'll just jump right to them. Definitely better heading into it. Let's talk about this for a second. So we did mention the linebackers. And believe it or not, when they played up in New England, it actually was Devin Bush and Vince Williams. It wasn't Mark Barron there. But they kind of had a little bit of a rotation there. And if you had any problems with the way he played, well, now he's, you know, he was released cap casualty. Yep. So no excuses there. But you look at the secondary and you look who was playing. So initially penciled in here, Sean Davis as a free safety with Terrell Edmonds, but that's not the way they started in New England, because Sean Davis only played that second week and then went on IR. They had Cam Kelly, who came over from the AAF. You know, it was just he had a good camp, and that's who you were up against with Tom Brady and company. Cam Kelly, Terrell Edmonds, who a lot of people are still going to dog, but Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson. And Steven Nelson, the unknown, kind of unflashy, great value brand name during free agency that we were all telling everyone, this is not the great value brand. This is the brand. This is the Heinz ketchup. This isn't the catsup. You know what I mean?
Right.
And lo and behold, he goes out there. Everybody said we were on his jock, you know, and rightfully so. He had a tremendous year. And let's not forget, Minkah Fitzpatrick traded for. He goes in there and no more Cam Kelly. Cam Kelly did something else off field and was off the team, which it doesn't take much when you're in a position like he was, that, you know, he was fighting to get there to begin with. And that's unfortunate, but that's, you know, those are the breaks. That's the way it works. So you have Minkah, who is an all pro, and you add him compared to the way they were going in the 2019, they did not have any Minkah. So it's very easy to say, yes, they were improved, but even from adding Minkah, yes, they're still improved, because guess what? Minkah now is going to get the full treatment of the full training camp, the whole learning. Well, we don't know about the whole learning experience. We don't know what training camp's going to be like, but regardless, it's going to be more than what he had last offseason when he wasn't with the Steelers. He was with the Miami Dolphins. So this group, it's better. Joe Hayden's back to Pro Bowl form, and Steven Nelson is completely underrated and unappreciated by even people in Pittsburgh, to be completely honest, let alone the rest of the NFL media.
Yeah, I'm going to do a wait and see on the deep, on the corners. And that, the reason is because I just, at some point, Joe Hayden's going to get worse.
Yeah.
But he's not there yet. And he certainly got better in the defense in his second year than he was in his first year. At Steven Nelson, you know, the glove is the glove, man. We love the glove, and it's all good. But as I said before, I need to see a second season of it and see how it is, because people get adjusted. So I'm going to push on the corners and say, I don't know that they're going to be better, but I don't know they're going to be worse either. If they're just as good, that's more than good enough. And you know, that's fine. The safeties, look, I still think Terrell Edmonds is going to have a breakout season at some point. And we've said, you know, give him the same benefit of the doubt that Bud Dupree never got, except by us.
Mm-hmm. Once again,
and
because we're always
and
right.
When it happens, yeah, and when it happens, it's going to happen, and you're all going to be like, and you know, a full season with both Terrell Edmonds and Minka Fitzpatrick, a full preseason, whatever that amounts to. I think the safeties absolutely will end up better for it. And as a result, the entire DB set will end up better. But I wanted to break it down a little bit because it's hard for me to go, oh, yeah, Joe Haden and Steven Nelson are going to be better than last year. Because they were so damn good, it's hard for me to say they're going to be better. But if they're as good as they were, I'm happy with it.
Well, let's look at the rest of this. Mike Hilton, Cam Sutton, Antoine Brooks. I mean, I like
forget,
that.
Don't forget Lane.
Justin Lane as well.
Justin Lane.
There's quite a bit there in the Kofers where before when you were talking about Valentino Blake, yeah. You know, or you had Bryce McCain for a one-year prove-it deal or whatever. And, you know, it's what they tried to do. They tried to fix and tried to get there, and now they're finally there, and it seems like all these pieces are coming together. Brian, so the defense better heading in this year than they were last year for certain.
Yes.
I was waiting for absolutely.
I'm trying not to say it, man. Although nobody's been giving me grief about it. In the comments, but I'm trying not to say it.
I gave you a softball there. A nice little underhanded toss to knock out the park. Our special teamers. I don't know. I don't even have anything to say about Cam Canaday. So let's talk about Chris Boswell and Jordan Berry. Everyone wanted Boswell fired last year. That seems to have gone away. Offense didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to score. He did make some field goals, didn't miss anything that really made me want to pull little hair I have left out. So I'm going to say they're better in that position, but Jordan Berry cannot have any kind of erratic inconsistency. You know, I've had to love hate because he's been better than a lot of the guys that preceded him. But then again, this is one of those short leash type, thin ice type positions where the next guy is just a phone call away. And unfortunately, that's where I'm at with Jordan Berry right now. And of course, they're going to bring somebody into camp. Is this Corliss Waitman, who is supposedly has like a bazooka of a leg as well from South Alabama. So there may be a competition. But again, if we don't have I haven't heard it officially from the NFL though, Brian. But the NFLPA has said there's no preseason. It's kind of, you know, they're voting for no preseason. The NFL had cut it to two games, so we're just waiting to hear that the whole thing's scrapped.
Yeah.
It's going to – for a guy like Corliss Waitman that could be in a viable position to take the incumbent's job, this kind of sucks. He's not going to get real game experience is what I'm looking for here, the word. So
this is actually bad for a lot of people. Guys who were sixth, seventh round picks – guys who are, you know, we're undrafted free agents, guys who are going to try and make their bones on special teams, not having a preseason impacts all those guys heavily because they are not going to get the opportunity to impress the coaches the way that they might. They're not going to get the playing time. They're not going to get the experience out there. And it's going to be really tough for those guys to make any headway. And especially a guy like you're talking about here. Look, Jordan Berry is on a short lease. And we've said this before. I love Chris Boswell. I think Chris Boswell had a great bounce back year. I think, you know, he had some confidence issues the year before. He may have been injured the year before. We don't know. But all kickers, whether you kick – if you use your foot to impact the ball primarily, you are always on a short leash.
That's so true.
Because when it goes bad, man, it just goes bad.
Todd Peterson, Josh Scobie, Zoltan Mesko. There's just a whole there's a laundry list of them that Zoltan. We could come up with. Man, that guy, he came over. I remember he came over from the Patriots, and we're all like, we got the Patriots punter. This has got to be a good thing. But then you're thinking in the back of your mind, the Patriots don't get rid of guys that are, you know, that they have any value to the Patriots. So
I thought he was the guy from the Tom Hanks Big movie that he lived in a machine and was going to turn us all back into kids.
Okay, then. Well, anyhow,
Zoltan.
Brian, bonus question. Have we got, are we better going into 2020 than we were in 2019?
Always, because we're always better. But actually, the answer is no, we're exactly the same because we're so damn good, it doesn't matter.
I was going to say aged like a fine wine, but yes. I'll accept that answer as well. Well, thanks for joining me once again, buddy. And we're going to see what's going on. Just some programming notes for everyone that's out there. Myself and Brian are both going on a vacation, so we're going to try and at least put something
but
on the
not
side.
Together.
Not together, no, because we're not Chuck and Larry or whatever that movie was. But yeah. We almost did, though. We almost did.
We did.
It's just my plans didn't line up with your plans. But so we shall see.
Maybe when we get back, we'll have some extra bonus footage of me falling to my death.
No, don't die. We need you here.
Well, except not dying, you know, that part.
But you'll be screaming as though you're dying.
Yeah, because I will definitely have video of me jumping off that hotel if I, in fact, get to jump off that hotel. And maybe we'll share it. Maybe we will, unless, you know, if I wet my pants or something, I'm not giving it.
Well, I'll promise to like do some photoshopping of that, but then I'll somehow conveniently forget. But anyway, no, we're just making mention of that, not just for idle chit chat, but just in case you wonder if you know we're absent by our presence. Well, we're trying to enjoy a little bit of the summer months as best we can during this whole quarantine, shutdown, isolation, every other thing that's been going on. So yeah, just letting everybody know where we stand. We're trying to still get two out per week, but we don't know that the following week will necessarily work in our favor. In fact, the last few weeks haven't been working really in our favor.
Man.
We're so erratic and we're so all over the place. But aside from the fact, just putting that out there, letting all of our loyal and faithful listeners know. And of course, we got plenty of good stuff still in the archives. If you missed anything, it's not like any of this stuff is aged or gone bad or spoiled or this. All this news is relevant because there literally isn't anything going on. And if we don't have a season, what are we going to start doing? Podcasting about like previous seasons or something? I don't even know, man, because we stretch sometimes just for whatever we can talk about here. And some people bring up some good topics. There's some things we could talk about. There's some things that like, okay, it's medical. I'm not going there. But, you know, we'll try our best here and get you, you know, the best, the black and gold standard, as we call it, as often as possible. So, Brian, thanks once again for joining me, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Always happy to be here. And I'll tell you what. How about this? If you want to see me jump off the hotel, then put it in the comments. And if we get enough, I'll make sure to share it.
Oh, that's going to be – that'll be rich.
Do not tell me not to land right, though. That's mean.
Not head first. So yeah. He does have the mohawk, so that'll work. But anyways, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you are listening. And once again, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. And we encourage everyone out there to be safe. That's you too, Brian. Be safe. Be good. And we'll catch you later.
No, I'm not doing that last one.
We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.